From awaytogarden.com and robinhoodradio.com, this is Away to Garden with Margaret Roach, your weekly invitation to dig in and grow.
If I say, quick, name a holiday flower, you might answer poinsettia. But the poinsettia wasn't always synonymous with this time of year, today's guest tells me. Like, once upon a time, more than a century ago, the chrysanthemum took center floral stage from Thanksgiving to New Year's, surprising as that might sound. Whether historic or cutting-edge modern, horticulturist Matt Mattis is here to remind us there are many choices of festive blooms, including various ones we can grow ourselves indoors. And he has tricks for perfecting even the most familiar of those, your amaryllis, for instance. So more in a moment about turning up the volume on holiday color. But first, these messages.
Underwriting support for A Way to Garden provided by Color Blends Wholesale Flower Bulbs, a third-generation bulb company offering top-size flower bulbs directly to landscape professionals and ambitious residential gardeners on the web, colorblends.com. And by High Mowing Seeds, Wolcott, Vermont, professional quality vegetable, flower, and herbal seeds that are 100% organic and non-GMO project verified. On the web, highmowingseeds.com. And by White Flower Farm, offering a wide range of carefully selected and expertly grown garden plants. On the web, whiteflowerfarm.com.
Matt Mattis is a lifelong plant person, and that's putting it mildly. And I can always count on him to be showcasing some drool-worthy flower on his Instagram feed, even in winter. You may recall a popular conversation Matt and I had about Christmas cactus, and he's a senior director of horticulture for the American Horticultural Society these days, and he gardens in Massachusetts, and is the author of various garden books, including Mastering the Art of Vegetable Gardening and Mastering the Art of Flower Gardening. He also provides consultation services both virtually and in person to help others with garden design and plant care issues, and I'm so glad to welcome him back. So ho, 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 Matt, or something. How are you?
I'm great. I know those of us in the Northeast are suffering through our first snowstorm.
I know. Unlike last year when I don't think we had it right away, did we?
No, I know. But hey, It's starting to feel like the holiday season at least.
Yeah. I'm not looking forward to the single digit nights though that are coming up in the next few days. That's not my favorite thing.
No.
Keep those pipes unfrozen, baby.
Yeah. Oh, that reminds me. Yeah, I have to turn the heater on in the greenhouse for that.
Hello. This is your reminder, Matt. This is your reminder. Batten down the hatches. So so we did Christmas cactus not so many years ago, and you know, it's not exactly a holiday flower, so to speak. I mean, it's a flowering plant, but anyway, you know, I've been watching your Instagram, as I said in the introduction, and, you know, you've been showing these like incredible chrysanthemums and so forth. And, you know, it got me nostalgic in a funny way, because one of the first pictures, baby pictures I have of myself is standing in front of a row of standard, you know, single stem, one flower at the top, disbudded, you know, chrysanthemums that my grandmother grew each year for the fall flower show. She was into that. And she like covered them with, you know, black cloth for X number of hours a day, you know, a night, so that they got the right amount of darkness or whatever the triggers were. And so there I am, you know, with these show moms.
Oh my God, how did I not know this?
Yeah,
that's the big thing.
Weird, right?
Yeah, no, that's really amazing. But it's you know, first of all, it's timely, right? I think the exhibition chrysanthemum, those like you're talking about, the sort of one giant flower and a single stem, were just out of vogue for like the past 70 years. I mean, unless you're a member of the Chrysanthemum Society. And all of a sudden, like in the past 5 years or even the past 2 years, it's everywhere on Instagram. It's like the it flower all of a sudden.
Yes.
New dahlia.
Yeah,
but that's,
no.
It's great. But, you know, they were the holiday flower a century ago. That was chrysanthemums were easy to grow. And, you know, they grew all summer and they grow from cuttings in the spring and then they grow all summer. So local florists could grow these in their greenhouses, even if they kept them cold in the winter. But talk about local flowers. That was the flower available between, you know, October and New Year's.
So you see like vintage pictures of these at the holidays and stuff? Yeah, cool.
Yeah, I mean, if you just, you know, go into Etsy or whatever and say, look for vintage, you know, engraved holiday cards, you start seeing all these flowers that aren't what typically what we think of as holiday flowers. I mean, even goldenrod you'll see on a card from the mid-19th century, but often chrysanthemums for a holiday card with a piece of holly.
Chrysanthemum and holly, that's a funny combo.
Right.
And again, as I said, also in the introduction, we think poinsettia and that we think, oh, well, that must have been forever because it's so ubiquitous. But it's not. It's much more modern, right? Relatively
totally
speaking.
Totally modern. Yeah. In fact, it's so modern as a potted plant. It really wasn't until the 1950s where you started seeing, you think of these short ones you see now at the markets with gold foil on them, and they're only a foot high. And that's relatively new. That's mid-20th century, the Eck breeding in California and all these beautiful colors and ugly colors. Whatever you feel about glitter.
Paul Ecke, Paul Eck, or Eck.
Yeah, I really, transformed the poinsettia. But if you look at any old holiday movie, they were a cut flower. They were preliminary, primarily, if you look at Christmas in Connecticut, that's a vase of cut flower poinsettias on the piano. They were grown in California. There was a big deal in Hollywood. I mean, it grown as a crop in a field crop in Hollywood where they'd have a poinsettia trolley that would take you out to look at the fields and you would cut stems. And almost every old movie from the 40s, you won't see a potted one. You'll see them as a bouquet or in a vase.
And then we invented like the growth regulators that could be sprayed on them to keep them dwarf, and we put them in pots and mastered all that stuff. And
which brings us back to hardy mums, right? Like that's those mounded mums. That's what's given the chrysanthemum, I think, a bad name other than supermarket mums that they're cheap and easy to export. But that's all changing. Yeah. So holiday flowers, where they really go back in time. If you think, like you said before, what was there before the poinsettia? Because really, even though the poinsettia was, discovered in the mid-19th century and, brought to Philadelphia and really only grown by the very wealthy who could afford a hothouse, like a house that was, right? And you had to shade them, just like you mentioned with the chrysanthemums. You had to shade them to adjust the photo period so they would bloom at Christmas. Otherwise, they would bloom, in Hawaii. And I went to college in Hawaii and they bloom there, sort of naturalized in the woods or they grow them like hydrangeas there around your house. They would bloom January and February, they're 12 feet, but not as a potted commercial.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Well, so these are two things, quite old and, with a mum and less so with the poinsettia, greenhouse crops, really. And you have a small greenhouse, and so you're able to grow some of the mums, and that's really fun, and they're gorgeous. And I'll give the link to your Instagram because some of the flower forms are just unbelievable. But for those of us who, it's the winter time, the holiday time, et cetera, the things we can grow in our houses, if we don't have a greenhouse, a lot of them are bulbs, yes?
Yeah, absolutely. Bulbs go way back. I mean, yeah, the chrysanthemum is something, just to touch quickly on that, they're difficult to grow unless you have a greenhouse, because maybe mid-Atlantic states you can get them to bloom outdoors, but they do bloom late. So unless you have a place, a porch or somewhere to keep them, that's difficult for the exhibition ones. But, this is when you're seeing holiday plants for sale at florists or at the florist market at a supermarket. Thinking back on those, let's thinking bulbs were always, I think, the first thing a lot of us think of, like amaryllis or paper whites. And I always felt, I don't know if you did this, but I always felt that it might be just my age, but I felt that they were sort of mid 20th century. I didn't see them before that.
Right. I thought that too. And then, when we chatted the other day on the phone, you told me that amaryllis have been around a really long time. I didn't, how old?
Well, I mean, so the late 1600s, I mean, they're from South America, so they really weren't brought to Europe until, the Dutch brought them. But this is, let's say by 1700 or 1730s, they were in Europe and started to be forced. They realized that, this was a plant that bloomed in the winter and it was easy to grow because you could ship them on a ship. If you think about bulbs are perfectly designed, they're perfectly packaged to be on a merchant ship in the 1700s, right? They come from the Southern Hemisphere. They're grown opposite seasons, so they can fill up, they can sell these when they went to Europe while they were dormant. And then, what would be better than having something flowering in the 17th, 18th, 19th century in the winter in Europe, especially, in Germany and England. And that's where people were really just starting to grow florist flowers, primula or anything that would flower in very late winter, early spring. But paper whites were closer to them because they're from the Mediterranean area, so really they date back to quite far. So these aren't, these aren't even something that Lincoln would have had. It was way before that.
And so one of the things that's interesting with the amaryllis is they're not all exactly the same. You were just talking about where they originally hail from and so forth, but where we order them from today, our bulb catalogs, they're coming from two different places, I believe, and they behave differently because of that. Not, so an amaryllis is not an amaryllis is not an amaryllis, right? I
Right.
mean,
Well, even the name amaryllis is confusing. It's very similar to geranium and pelargonium. So the true amaryllis is Amaryllis belladonna. We're not talking about that plant. The plant we're referring, most of us refer to as amaryllis, is Hippiastrum. That would be the genus.
right.
You rarely would see them sold by that. I think everyone knows. They can picture an amaryllis, the big giant bulb, big red flower.
Right.
That's what we're talking about here. And yeah, they go back quite far, but they also are Southern Hemisphere, Brazil, Paraguay, South American plant, basically. Some spe There are a number of species, is more than one. And the modern ones we see today are often crosses, or sort of complex crosses of a number of species. I mean, no one needs to know that, but you might be wondering why you're seeing like spidery flowered ones now or miniature ones. And there's
Right.
just a lot of breeding going on. But the Southern Hemisphere ones were always the ones that would, if they were shipped from the Southern Hemisphere, they would bloom at Christmas or more likely. And you'll see that today in catalogs. A good bulb catalog would say this is a Southern Hemisphere grown bulb. And you might be wondering, I go to, a big box store and I see an amaryllis with the flower bud emerging right now. Yeah, that's probably going to bloom for Christmas, but you also might buy this big expensive bulb and you're wondering, why isn't that bud coming out? I potted it. It's been 3 months and there's no bud. Like, that's common. And those generally are ones that are grown in the Netherlands. Most of the bulbs are grown in the Netherlands.
Oh.
But there are some Netherland bulbs that are treated, so they will bloom at Christmas. So
Oh
some
my goodness.
catalogs aren't really clear about that. So I would say always look for a bulb that says Christmas blooming, which, so if you want that
If
bulb
that's what you
featured,
want, if that's what you're looking, for a
right,
holiday thing, right.
holiday. But
And so
honestly,
yeah. So you and so,
those.
when you say Southern Hemisphere as opposed to the Netherlands, Northern Hemisphere ones, or is it like South Africa? Where are we talking about that
Yeah,
they're
mostly
coming
South
from?
Africa. Yeah, that some in South America, but I think most are South Africa now. But they could be grown anywhere in the southern area. Yeah, it's basically how they're stored. This does go back to how do we get a bulb to bloom ourselves? Like, they have to have that rest period. So the ones in the southern hemisphere, obviously, they've been kept dormant longer, and they're more likely to start blooming. I think the ones in the Netherlands, if they're Christmas blooming, if you do ever see any, say, a Dutch bulb, but it's still Christmas blooming, will probably bloom early January, not at Christmas exactly, but it's not unusual to buy an expensive bulb and have, the more expensive bulbs are usually better. I will say that. I mean, people complain that I paid $35 for a bulb, but I don't know if you've noticed this, but those big bulbs that look like softballs often have three buds that will come out over 3 or 4 months. So you're really getting
It's
$12
unbelievable. It's
for
like
yeah.
you're really getting three bulbs. It's almost like
You
you're getting
really
three
are.
bulbs in one. Yeah, no, it's
Yeah,
they're
you
pretty
get what you pay
amazing.
for with an amaryllis.
Do you try to rebloom yours or do you discard them? Tell the truth.
Oh
Because
God.
one of the things because one of the things is that, and we're just talking about, depending on where they've been prepared, so to speak, where they're coming from, nursery wise, being shipped from which hemisphere and the conditions there dictates when it's going to bloom. Then the next year, if you decide to keep it, or at least this has been my experience, it's not the same condition. I'm not going to be offering the same conditions that it was used to in those previous years, right? So it's got to get used to me and decide on under my, protocol and my conditions when it's going to bloom. And it's going to take a year or two or whatever. So I'm going to think I'm failing, but it's not that. It's that it was programmed, so to speak, to a different world altogether than where I am. If it came from South Africa or it came from, the Netherlands, right?
Right, exactly. Like a lot of bulb collectors, the serious bulb collectors, talk about flipping that southern northern hemisphere timing with their South African bulbs. So it could be any South African bulb, and they will adjust to our northern
In
hemisphere, but
time.
in time. But you have to be patient. So hats off to anyone who can get an emeralds to rebloom. I mean, you can absolutely. To answer your question, I'm a very lazy gardener, and
Well,
I guess irresponsible. I mean, when I was growing them in the house, I could never get them to bloom. However, I do know some people that certainly can get them to bloom, and good for them. However, with the greenhouse, once I had the greenhouse, I was still a sloppy gardener and lazy, and because I'm growing so many things, and occasionally an amaryllis after it bloomed in January or February, I don't know where it went. It went under a bench or it fell off into a pot of lemon tree. Growing in a lemon tree, and was brought out in the summer, and I didn't even know it was there. And I started noticing bulbs popping up in the greenhouse that dropped and started blooming the following year. And I thought, oh, I guess I can rebloom them. It comes down to how well you care for it. I mean, so yeah, if you want to get your amaryllis to bloom, you absolutely can. Just make sure, think of it as a solar panel. Like as soon as it blooms, cut the stem off. They make great cut flowers too if you want to cut it before the buds open, but that helps. You want to keep that bulb really well energized. So, as many leaves as possible in the brightest sun you can all winter. Keep it growing through spring and through summer and around, and fertilize it every 2 or 3 weeks with balanced fertilizer. There are heavy feeders. You want to get a big bulb again, and you don't want to starve it. These amaryllis, anything in the amaryllis family forms, the embryonic flower buds like 1, 2, sometimes 3 years in advance, deep inside that bulb. So, if for some reason, that bulb sent up three flower buds, it might not the next year, or maybe it has two more in there ready to come out that started forming. So similar to agapanthus do the same thing, or nerines, but most likely you will get at least one flower bud that next year, and maybe if you kept it on that cycle again. But around August, you want to stop watering it and then give it a rest that's dry. And it should be like a 6 to 10 week rest. So you probably won't be a Christmas blooming bulb again. It'll be like a February, March blooming bulb. But that would be the way to do it. Just you want to really take good care of it.
And
And
again, don't think you failed if it doesn't bloom the next year, the first full year with you, so to speak. If it's growing, it puts out leaves and everything, it may just take more time or give
exactly.
up and buy a new bulb.
Well, it's the way bulbs work. I mean, this leads to paper whites because people always often I get asked, can I rebloom a paper white? And you can. I mean, I don't know why you would want to because it's, those are commercially grown, they're heavily fertilized, they're treated just the best, they're basically grown at like the finest hotel in the world to bloom again. But I have some in the greenhouse again that fall off the bench onto the floor and they rebloom. And you know what? If you're listening in, Arkansas or Louisiana, you know that they've naturalized outdoors. Or Southern California. So they are a narcissus. These are, a daffodil basically. So, the way we're growing them, putting them in rocks or in a vase with water and alcohol, whatever, it's not the best conditions to treat your bulb if you want it to rebloom again. So if you do want it to rebloom, you need to plant it like a real narcissus, like 2 inches deep in the ground and it's potting soil and fertilize it after it's bloomed. And it's a lot of work, so you can
So,
do.
yeah, that crazy the alcohol thing. I mean, that was a rage for a while. I don't know if it still is or not. I don't see about it as much as I used to years ago, but just tell us, like, what was that idea? The idea that you could do them in alcohol or whatever, the
Yeah, I
paper
mean, when I
whites.
first heard that, I thought, oh, that's just another, myth or hack that it seemed crazy, but it actually does work, and there is real research behind it. There's a study at Cornell. I believe students at Cornell first did this. You could Google it and find out, but it was, I think it's 10% alcohol, or
Like
one
vodka.
seven parts vodka, any clear, yeah, like Everclear or vodka. Like I think it's one part, like one out of seven and whatever. Obviously, don't know the exact recipe, but it does work. But the trick with it, and you see that I've seen this on Instagram a lot right now, is people are planting their bulbs and they're watering them with this alcohol water mixture, and that's not the way to do it. You should plant your bulbs either in soil or in rocks, so whatever way you're going to grow them, and then water them with regular water until they've emerged about 4 inches, and then start the alcohol water. And that does keep them dwarf. That's the right height for your dinner table or in a windowsill, because paperwhites can grow, 24 inches tall and flop over.
Right. So that's the idea, is that they get a
Yeah.
little drunk and they don't grow
It
as much.
stunts your growth, so that's why you don't drink alcohol, I guess.
So how do you grow, do you have particular ones that you've sought out and that you grow, and do you grow them in soil? You were talking about soil, potting them up in pots of soil. Do you grow them that way, or do you grow them in gravel? What do you do? What's
Yeah,
your
I do it a number of different ways. It depends. So I'm really growing them for decoration in the house, during the holidays. And every year I do something different. Sometimes I might do a pyramid and a bunch of, antique vases. And then I might use soil, potting soil. I'm not trying to reblue them at all, so it doesn't really matter. It's more of an aesthetic thing. But I think my favorite way now is sort of a gravel and soil mixture in a container that doesn't have drainage holes in it. So the more traditional, bulb pan way. But then I put green moss on top so it looks nice. So it's more about the aesthetics. But I like the fragrance. I don't know about you. I
Well,
mean.
I was going to say, so to me, that's the deciding factor with those, because, amaryllis, they're beautiful, and there's now, as you've pointed out with the breeding, there's sort of a color or a flower form for every taste, and even a height. And so since they're experimenting now more with miniatures and so forth, but with the paper whites, you either love it or you hate it, the fragrance. And
Yeah, which I understand.
it's strong for me. It's strong. I'm one of those people who, with certain really strong flowers, what's the white lily that's so strong? I don't know what's wrong with my, an outdoor plant. There's a one of
Oh,
the
yeah, like a Casablanca type.
exactly a
Yeah.
Casablanca, and then there's some sort of
Yeah, there's
vine
some
type things
flowers
that,
that shouldn't be
yeah,
in
there's some
soil.
that are
I
super,
agree.
super strong, and they kind of get to me. It's like a little
Yeah.
too much, and I don't really want it in the house as much.
Right.
But
Especially in
the
winter. Yeah.
are
So
all
is
the
spring.
yeah, sorry, are all the
But
paper
yeah.
whites as fragrant? All the paper whites are very fragrant.
Well, I mean, breeders have selected now. I mean, there's probably a dozen cultivars of paper whites and maybe eight or so that you can find. This year, for some reason, the catalogs only offered a few, so I'm not sure. Most of them are grown like in the Middle East. But the strongest old-fashioned type would be the cultivar called Ziva, Ziva. So if you like the scent of paper whites, if you like the cat pee smell, that's the one to go to. Okay. But new varieties like Nir, it's NIR. That's a little less potent, though it still could be. I think some people still would think it's very strong. But there are some that are very sweet smelling. So if you don't If there's a certain type of fragrance you like it to smell like powdered sugar or vanilla. There's there's Galilee's a little better. I don't know. I think Inbal is the one you would most likely find sold commercially, Inbal, and that's almost scentless. So that's good. But if you like super sweet, the old fashioned, these were grown in China back in the 1500s. So there's one called Chinese Sacred Lily. They're really grown for sort of Lunar New Year. And it is a later
I didn't
bloom.
know that. That's interesting.
Yeah, it's harder to find, but I can't find it in a lot of the Dutch bulb catalogs, but I found it at my local garden center. So, some good garden centers might carry five, six different types of paper whites, but there's the ones that have a yellow center. So like Chinese Sacred Lily or sometimes Grand Sol d'Or. It has like a yellow trumpet in the center. Those are generally sweeter smelling or sort of closer to like early cheer or the narcissus you grow outdoors that have multiple small flowers. So they smell really delicious. But also later, they're not as floriferous. They won't produce as many flowers, though. You know, you might get, and they're taller stems, so the, you know, they have their faults too. But
And
the, I guess it's improving
how
on.
long does it gonna is it going to take? You said if you like them for indoor decoration and so forth, when are you potting these up? Have you already done so, or do you
Yeah,
do
I
them in
did mine
stages?
yesterday. Yeah, I did mine yesterday for Christmas, but I also have to sort of time it. Like, it depends how warm your house is. So I have them indoors now in the house. You know, I planted big urns with, you know, a dozen bulbs in each, and then I do some individual ones. And these are just for like my Christmas table. But I, if they start to grow too long, I bring them out to the greenhouse because it's cool in there. It's 40 degrees. They're getting full sun. I don't need to do the alcohol treatment because under those cool conditions, they grow stumpier and shorter. Yeah.
So we have like a minute left, and I was just going to say, so you've just shared what part of your holiday decor is. Is there anything else that there's still time to do that we could do right now? That there's still time to do
Well,
that
I mean,
you're.
I usually do my plant windows with a mixture of those, but also, you know, the new cyclamen that are coming out, there are a lot of new interesting varieties that don't even look like cyclamen. So look for those, you know, the miniature ones with upright flowers. There's been a lot of breeding in Germany and in the Netherlands for the past 2 or 3 years. So you're going to see cyclamen that don't even look like cyclamen. They look like I mean, they're in the primrose family, but they
Oh,
look like,
cool. I'll look for some
yeah.
links to put with the
So
transcript of the
mixing all those
show.
together, I think. Even just the buds, you know, buds of amaryllis growing with inside moss with paper whites all together. You see that done a lot now. They don't have to be in bloom to look, you know, that touch of somehow we like that touch of spring, right? They're in
Nature,
the winter.
right. Well,
Yeah.
thank you. Thank you. These are good ideas. And I'm fascinated about the amaryllis because I had no idea they were coming from different places or anything. So I hope I'll talk to you again soon. And ho, 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 as I said at the beginning.
Same back to you, Margaret.
I'll talk
Thank
to you
you.
soon. Bye-bye. And I hope I'll talk to all the rest of you soon again, too. Now, don't miss an episode. You can subscribe free to the podcast version of the show on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, and you can find me anytime at awaytogarden.com and on Facebook and on Instagram as at awaytogarden. And happy gardening indoors and out meantime.
Underwriting support for A Way to Garden provided by Color Blends Wholesale Flower Bulbs, a third-generation bulb company offering top-size flower bulbs directly to landscape professionals and ambitious residential gardeners on the web, colorblends.com. And by High Mowing Seeds, Wolcott, Vermont, professional quality vegetable, flower, and herbal seeds that are 100% organic and non-GMO project verified. On the web, HighMowingSeeds.com. And by White Flower Farm, offering a wide range of carefully selected and expertly grown garden plants. On the web, WhiteFlowerFarm.com.
A Way to Garden with Margaret Roach is a joint production of awaytogarden.com and the smallest NPR station in the nation, Robin Hood Radio.